Hello, all you froggets, frogites, and frogspawn out there on internet land. Once again, you find me in the Tron penthouse, a lovely little Tron penthouse. But this time I'm with the lovely couple, the duo, that is Marie Lawrence and Greg Haste. You might need to speak into the microphone.
Okay, hello. Greg Haste.
Yeah, you guys perform without microphones, so.
Yeah, it's all very new, very technical.
A microphone. No invention.
Let's introduce you to our listeners. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and tell us about your show.
Okay, we're Greg Haste and Marie Lawrence. We're a double act called Jolly Good Larks, which is all one word. And this is our first venture.
Up to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Up to the Edinburgh Fringe with our show Jolly Good Larks.
So you're fringe virgins.
We are, and we've been broken. Yeah. Broken in well.
That's been fun. It's been really good laugh. It's a whole sort of whirlwind of life up here, isn't it? So
yeah, it is indeed. Have you guys ever been up to the Fringe before? Is this your very first time?
Like, for me, as a punter, I've been up lots of times, but yes, first time up with a show.
Yeah, and I came up when I first graduated, if you'll pardon the expression.
Okay.
That's how exciting graduation was. No, after I first graduated, but that was a while ago now. And so this is the first proper throw everything at it.
So you guys still have the joy of the Fringe inside you.
Yeah. Shouldn't we?
It's been really good. Without wishing to sound too arrogant, people enjoy the show, so that's been a real sort of boon, and I can imagine that.
I think when you work in isolation for so long, to kind of finally get the product out and then people like the product, and that's a huge buzz.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But we're still learning. It's still a learning curve, and we're still tweaking and changing stuff. But I think even if they're not enjoying it, we seem to enjoy it, and then eventually they kind of enjoy our enjoyment of enjoying something.
we're pretty cheery people, really. So maybe we made a conscious decision quite early on that if we smile a lot, it's difficult to dislike us, really. That's sort of who we are as people anyway, really. And that's where the name came from, really, Jolly Good Larks.
Yeah.
It's all very twee.
Yeah. We do a sort of, the show is a sort of riff on how to make it in show business, hence the how to make it huge thing. But we do a sort of clash of worlds, really. So one of our main characters is a guy called Posh Liam Gallagher, which is a sort of parallel world version of Liam Gallagher, where he's actually a sort of eccentric Bertie Wooster character that only pretends to be Mancunian.
I kind of wish he was that in real life.
Oh, I think he might be.
Yeah.
I think he might be.
Behind closed
doors.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Living in the country.
The ultimate living blur. Class boy.
Yeah.
And actually, our name, because this is our first venture together, our name came out for the title of the show. Originally, this show was going to be called something like How to Be a Rockstar and Have Jolly Good Larks Doing So. But that was unwieldy as a title for the Fringe programme. And actually, as we came onto the sort of,
both have you synchronised already? Is that how
you've
been a
double act? Yeah, that's how close
we
are. Yeah,
we're like nuns in a convent. We menstruate at exactly the same time. So we just, that was the sort of thing. We and our sort of primary objective is to cheer people up. Really, all we're going to do is to just give people a good time for an hour, and then
because it's a very high energy show.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. We're pretty bright and breezy people, and. Yeah, we wanted to do that.
Well, we don't
want
to give people too long to think about whether they like it or not. We're just going to rub it down their throat. So you're having a good time. Yeah, keep on going with this.
I suppose one slight advantage we had was that we read on a blog earlier this year that it's a classic mistake for young comics to come up and have only sort of 8 minutes worth of material and try and stretch it out to an hour show. So we sort of wrote. Mm. And actually, when we did our first run through for any sort of audience, which was one of our pals, basically, we had 2.25 hours of material. So I mean, so we've actually effectively honed it down to about, suppose it's about a 53-minute show we've got with an hour slot and the turnaround between the next slot, and whether the audience come in early and all that kind of stuff, which has been useful in a way, because it means that, that's partly the reason why it's pretty fast-paced, really, because we've got...
cramming everything in.
Yeah. So notionally, it's a comic lecture in which we teach you how to make it huge in showbiz,
with a host, a cavalcade of characters.
That's right. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right,
But basically, it's two idiots trying. leading it. Cool.
So this character Posh Liam has a young sort of wannabe who wants to make it huge, and that is the character of Marie Lawrence, which is a bit weird because Marie is also called Marie Lawrence in real life, so she's sort of playing a version of herself, I suppose.
A more hyper-reality version of herself.
Yeah, yeah, and we sort of go through the different aspects of showbiz that you might want to hear about. Sex and drugs and Arctic rubble, as we say. Yeah.
So what have you been enjoying about The Fringe? What have been your favourite things, seeming as this is the first time experiencing it as performers?
It's the first time as performers and also as self-producing, so I think the learning curve has been quite steep for us.
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of enjoyment about The Fringe, there's a definite team. You kind of think with this much competition, as people keep saying, it's competition for audiences, competition kind of to do well, and all this kind of malarkey about getting stars and selling out and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't feel like that. It just feels like a genuine camaraderie between people of wanting you to do well and enjoying other people's success. And I think that's the most enjoyment kind of factor I think I've got out of.
I misquote somebody here, but forgive me if I do, but I think it was Simon Munnery who said, you know, who's, forgive me, Simon, listen to this, and you didn't say this, but as a comedian, it can feel quite gladiatorial sometimes, you know, you're trying to be the funniest person and this stuff. And he'd been saying it felt like a fight for quite a few years, but then he realised it was a dance. And actually, that's what we've really enjoyed about it. It's thrilling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And self-producing, as in taking up our own show, has been interesting for us because we don't know anything about the administration side of it. But fortunately, in sort of technical terms, I suppose the product is the show, and that's what we do have control of, basically. That's what we do ourselves.
Yeah.
And that seems to be going pretty well. I mean, really incidental things have happened to us. For example, like, we do a comic lecture, and we do it in a sort of... we're on Just the Tonic at the store in a space called The Studio, which is a bank of seats, like a little studio theatre, and then a proper sort of stage, because we are quite energetic. We do a little dance routine and stuff, and it's set up like a lecture theatre. We have a flip chart and a blackboard and things. But when we got to our technical rehearsal to see what the lighting would look like, it was actually quite... eerie sort of lighting. The light was kind of a bluey light, and it didn't really suit what we call a sort of primary colour show. It's all sort of fun knockabout, Vic and Bob, that sort of thing. And we thought, well, let's leave the lights on in the actual thing, because it's a lecture theatre.
Yeah.
And so it means we see our audience basically, and that's been a useful tool for us, because as the show's gone on, we've seen any day we're sort of directly talking to the audience to see if there's ever a tiny bit where people aren't as interested as they were. They managed to sort of self-edit on the hoof.
Does that never scare you though, the moments where you're just like, why is that one person not they haven't laughed at anything throughout the whole show,
and they're scowling?
Well, that's the weird thing. We had some lovely sort of middle-aged couple the other day who didn't smart at all during the show. And again, just by default, at the end of the show, just because there's nowhere really to go in our venue, we sort of stay on stage and say, we will show you out. But that's been
so really it means we get instant feedback then, so that means we can self-edit.
But these two people came out, and we'd seen their sort of glum faces throughout the show, and then they thought, what did he say to you?
It was the best thing he'd seen at The Fringe in his 3 years of coming up. He's just a miserable looking man.
Yeah, had we not had that chance to speak to him after the show, we would have thought,
But we've had a kind of rule of if things aren't working three times, then that goes. That's kind of a general.
A joke fails three times and it's gone. Yeah, that's the usual. That's a good rule to
have.
I need to learn that rule.
But then there's always like, I think today you saw your show today, which we enjoyed.
Oh, you shucks, you.
Richard Bacon stole my face.
I've been plugging it enough on this podcast. The listeners are all sick of it. They're like, fuck off, Richard. We get the idea. You look vaguely like Richard Bacon. No one cares.
But you had quite an obscure reference that I really enjoyed, and I like jokes like that.
Yeah.
So there'll be like, we've got quite a few pop culture references in our show, doing about showbiz.
Yeah.
Well, for a typical example that comes to mind is at the end.
Vinegar Strokes.
I'm
sorry.
There is a rude phrase that we use that nobody really knows apart from a couple of people.
What, the Vinegar Strokes? Yeah. Everyone knows the Vinegar
Strokes. Not everyone. But you're kinky.
My show is a little bit filthy.
Richard Bacon on his kinky face.
Hey, look, I'm not the one. I am not the one who's put themselves on their flyer in their bra. All right.
I am.
Greg, I've never seen a man look so amazingly attractive in a bra and fake eyebrows.
For those of you who haven't seen our flyer, you'll see it on jollygoodlarks.com, actually. It's a reference to a Patsy Kensit and Liam Gallagher Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of riff on that. So instead of Noel Gallagher's famous Union Jack guitar, we've got a Union Jack ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... I wear stick-on eyebrows made out of gaffer tape as a reference to it. I'm sort of 5'7" and blonde and bald, and I don't look a thing like Liam.
You do have a slight element of Rick Mail about you.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, though.
That's our show next year. Rick Mail stole my face.
Oh, in that case, I'm going to do a show called Marie and Greg Stole My Title.
Yeah, nice.
That'll be my show next
great.
Year.
Great.
That's all right. Publicity's good for us, we don't mind. Can you put Jolly Good Larks yeah.
down
as well at the same time?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh,
phone. Phone.
For those of you listening at home, that's the telephone that never gets answered in this far in this house ever. I don't know why people ring it.
Do you want me to answer it?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's a podcast.
What?
Let's go see who it is.
It'll be some automated response thing. That's all they have. Because
the guy
you have
won
£15,000.
Yeah. Well, like, please call this number back about your energy bills. That's all it fucking ever is. But the guy who lives here, he hasn't given the number out to anyone, so he's like, "Yeah, don't answer it." It's like, well, your brother used to live here. And he's like, yeah, but I never gave the number out. For fuck's sake.
That phone call could have changed our lives.
Yeah, that was an agent.
Yeah, could have been an agent who just randomly dialing numbers. This is an Edinburgh number. There's bound to be an act on the other end of it. Are you an act? Yes. So, all right, you're hired. I've got a corporate gig for you in Aberystwyth.
We play a game with them. It's called Performer or Stag Night.
Oh, right, okay.
When you see somebody walking down the street in a dress and they're sort of male and hairy in the night and they're 33 or something, you have to guess whether they're actually going to fly you for a show.
Or whether they're going to vomit on you.
They're about 8 pints down.
Well,
sometimes I think they're pretty difficult to tell the difference.
Yeah.
If they're dressed as a giant vagina, it's a stag do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, they've got no friends because no one's found them.
Haven't you seen the giant vagina show at...
It wouldn't surprise me if there was one. The thing is, for your first year here, guys, you did do the one thing guaranteed to get you in some way attention, which is have a naked, semi-naked woman on your flyer or poster.
That was a decision, and that was for that reason.
Yeah, you were just...
And
it
was a decision. Well,
I'm
not sure.
Because
I mean,
our show is quite... This is an interesting thing for us. And of course, this is the other thing about doing Edinburgh Fringe, is that you've got, it's really difficult to have any sort of objectivity around your own show. And choosing that image, we deliberately chose it because it was a reference to Britpop and we have that riff.
But also because it was for the flesh thing of being female. And it was a decision that we talked about, and it was that one I made and then regretted once I saw the posters and thought, what the fuck, what am I doing? And then handing out the flyers and then people recognising that, yeah, it is me in my bra and I am handing you the flyer. I've got to go with this now.
And the
roll
title
with
is How to Make It Huge.
Yeah, so you
but
can't
also,
be coy about
at
that.
At the same time, you know, I do have a pipe in my mouth and we are called Jolly Good Larks, which is a fairly, you know, we're not called...
Yeah, it's an innocuous name.
Yeah.
Satanists touch dogs or anything like that, you know.
That's a third show coming up. That's a third year in,
2013.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty fun so far, and we've seen some good stuff, and you know, because this is the biggest festival in the world, and this is the biggest year the festival's ever been, so this is literally the biggest festival arts festival anyway that has ever existed in the history of mankind, and that's all
mankind
extra thrilling. The Beatles Kingdom have a little arts festival. Which no, I'm going to go with about insects now, but that's no.
I don't know.
I was going to go on a bit of a comedy cul-de-sac about how different.
Now I see where How to Make It Huge came from. Marie's the dirty one in the couple, isn't he?
Cheers. We have yes, I'm an innocent old buffoon, really. Even though I'm supposed to be Liam Gallagher, and Marie plays the saucy one.
So tell us about the characters that pop up in your show.
Well, we have a very famous couple called the Dutch and
Duchess of Cambridge.
Duchess of Cambridge.
Oh, Wills and Cake.
Yeah, Wills and Cake. We have another parallel world version of... For those of you who can't see Marie Lawrence at the moment, she does look a bit like a Middleton sister. And as I say, I'm blonde and balding, and you know, and we are a male-female double act as well, and there aren't so many of those around, so... We sort of thought early on whether we should do that, and actually that's been quite a good hook for us, because we're doing a lot of sort of...
10-minute tasters.
And that's sort of like an 8-minute section of our show. And it's a direct audience address, but we do actually come on and say, tell the audience what it's like to be rich and famous.
Yeah, and it's quite accessible as well, with the instant kind of recognition, okay, we're into the world now, and then going deaf with it. Yes,
recognition for even people who aren't from the UK as
absolutely,
well.
Tourists absolutely.
And we sort of play this sort of giddy... teenagers and just bodies for the first time, and it's been fun, but again, you know, we overheard that, we had quite a long session, so we sort of edited down to lots of gags and And we also deliberately put that on fairly early in our show because it's quite a high conceit show, as you know.
Yeah.
We do start off saying, my name is Liam Gallagher, and I used to be the lead singer of the popular beat band Oasis, you know. And that's quite, you know, it's quite a leap for the audience to have to, what's he doing?
He's from Manchester. Liam's from Manchester. What's going on?
I used to do the character of Posh Liam, as I call him, as a sort of solo set, as a stand-up set, just 10 minutes. And people used to, you know, really buy into it sometimes. Mm. But the best comment I ever had afterwards was somebody said to me, do you know that Liam Gallagher's from Manchester? And I haven't got the riff at all, you know.
Hadn't quite understood that you weren't confused.
So we did make a sort of conscious or technical decision early on in our show to do the Will and Kate thing, and that noticeably is the bit that sort of everybody settles down and goes, oh,
yeah, we're safe now. Yeah, we know this is going.
And there's an elderly B&B couple as well.
Yes, lovely. Ridgeway, that's right. Coulter,
but she's got Tony and he's got Hillary.
Because the names are the wrong way around.
Neither of you are from Doncaster, are
no,
you?
No.
Or you just picked Doncaster deliberately?
Not really.
I've got friends from Doncaster, went to university in Leeds. So
I have stayed at a very similar B&B, which shall remain nameless, but it is a bit like the, it's called the Hilltone Guest House, because my name's Hillary.
And my name's Tony, we've done that.
but there's a similarly titled name Doncaster Guest House. And so that
I know Doncaster, so don't worry.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's terrible, terrible place.
It's a beautiful place. It's we love
not,
it.
It's a terrible place. No one from Doncaster listens to this podcast.
All my best friends are from Doncaster.
Well, really?
Yeah. No, but that's a good thing to say, isn't it?
I suppose so. That'll really ingratiate you with the three listeners from Doncaster we have on the podcast. So, now, you, Greg, were saying that you've done stand-up before. So you come from a comedy performance background.
Yeah, I have a mixture of acting and stand-up as my background. I have done, but I like character comedy. So as a short reference to people, I usually say I'm more like the Steve Coogan school of comedy than I am the Jack D. I don't go on as Greg Haston do. I have done.
Yeah.
But I sort of prefer, I don't know what it is. I don't know, people just sound, it's not that I dislike, I love stand-up, I love watching stand-up comedians. Mm. Just when you find your milieu, is that the word? Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
your
little niche, yeah.
Yeah, I like playing posh, eccentric fools, really, and sort of, I was writing some stuff one day and it just occurred to me, wouldn't it be funny if Liam Gallagher was actually posh? And that's where it sort of came from. And I tried it out like you do, and people seem to like it, and that's where it came from, really.
But Marie, you don't have a similar sort of comedy background, do you? You're more performance based.
Yeah, I was a contemporary dancer for years.
And then straight into comedy.
That's
an easy road to go down.
I think I got
we had a halfway station. We actually met.
We met doing a devised piece of physical theatre which had a comedy clowning kind of route.
We worked for a company called Penny Dreadful Theatre Company. They're at the Dome at the moment. And the guy who directed that is a guy called Mick Barnfather, who teaches at the Goliath School, which is where Sacha Baron Cohen had all his clowning skills and all that kind of stuff. So it is a lot of sort of...
But that was my first departure working on that.
Yeah. And there were five of us in that company, and I was playing an eccentric old fool.
A dirty little bitch,
The dynamics seemed to work, so we decided to go out and do our own venture. And that's where Johnny Goodlarts came from.
Excellent. Yeah. And now you're here at the Fringe, you're flyering. How are you liking flyering?
Oh, I love it.
Really?
No.
There's nothing better in the world than flying. Is flying the worst thing about the Fringe? Because you guys are new performers, so you've never experienced flying before. What's the worst?
Flying is hardcore, and it's an art, and it's a skill, and it shouldn't be underestimated. It's
When we arrived at the Ed Fringe office on the first day, I saw a comedian that I'd seen here a few years ago, and I knew that he came here every year, and we got talking to him. He was very helpful. And I said, have you got any tips about flying? And he basically said, he gave us a couple. Which was basically...
make them laugh once.
Yeah, and he said basically engage them in your personality rather than the show, because everybody just says this is the best show ever.
Yeah.
And just vaguely tell them what the show is about. Let them discover the stars that you might
or
have.
Your reviews.
Or your reviews.
But don't...
Rather than point it out. And sort of make them laugh once and then sort
and
of...
And then leave. Yeah, know when to leave was his best tip. Just know when to bail.
That's a good one.
Which is sort of targeted flyering, which because again, I'm not, you know, we don't have been on Mock the Week, or we're not Sarah Millican or anything like that, and we don't have the budget for PR and publicity. So all we've got is sort of selling ourselves, really. And they always say that nobody knows the show better than you do.
Yeah.
I think it's called targeted flying, but actually we do look out. I mean, I look out.
But that that can be heartbreaking as well, in a way, because if you're flying for somebody else's show, personally, I kind of feel like, yeah, I can sell this, because it's theirs, when it's you and it belongs to you, and people kind of think, I don't want to see that shit. That hurts even more. You kind of go,
Of course you do. You just have to get used to most people saying no.
Have you been flying the Royal Mile?
No.
See, I haven't done it at all this year.
Have you
not?
You go out flying?
I do. I do 3 hours of flying a day. Yeah. Three 30 minutes of flying a day. I just stand at the top of my street and shout at people with a sandwich board with my poster on. Mm-hmm. That's all I do, because it's right down the street.
Your poster is really striking, though. I know.
It's the title. Yeah. People laugh at the title, so mm-hmm. that kind of gets them. But it's weird, isn't it, flying? Have you had anyone insult you yet?
This is talking, coming back to the bra on the picture, kind of flying a group of guys that was kind of early doors. You kind of saying, get these like groovy kids, get them in.
Yeah.
Putting that in front of them and then suddenly getting berated with that you love, oh, get your tits out, I'm coming to the show. And I said, I want to take the flyer back. Yeah. No, I don't want you in there.
Yeah, because we do this thing called targeted flying, which is basically engaging people and talking to them.
Mm.
Sometimes as soon as I start talking to somebody, I start not selling the show, because I realise I don't want them to come to see that. I don't want you in today. But also, we sort of know the market for our show, actually, because although it's sort of a vague riff on the indie world, I suppose, it actually is quite accessible. Once you sort of buy into it, it is... You know, we've got quite a lot of jokes in the show, and it's Marie just burped, and she coughed as well. Hey, why don't you do a fart? Sorry.
Not on my microphone, please. Please.
So we sort of, you target people with groovy haircuts and just say, I think you'll get the jokes in our show. But then also, actually, some of our best audiences,
like you said when you saw it,
we had a sort of middle-aged bloke on the front row, just absolutely, they're so up for it. And that's the nice thing about the Edinburgh Fringe as well, is that people sort of go knowing that they're... You know, they want to have a good time. Yeah. They want to taste stuff they've never sort of seen before and all that kind of stuff. So people sort of come in and they want to invest.
They're open. Of course they do. They want to.
Because we're not on the free fringe, actually. That's sort of been easy, because people, I don't know how you found it, but people have an investment because they have to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
They want to be in the room. Whereas we've done a couple, we did a free fringe gig as a 10 spot as Will and Kate did the day in there.
Yeah.
Some sort of dodgy fellas walked in and started shouting just halfway through, and then unfortunately they left again. But because there isn't that investment,
there's a certain amount of level of security, and because we're not doing stand-up, it is scripted to a certain extent and character-based.
Yeah,
you can drop in and out of it, but I think with stand-up, there's a real, like today watching you, is a real enjoyment of the kind of danger of what you're going to do, and your mic stand breaking, and how you're going to get out of it, and that's really enjoyable for us as an audience to.
I did enjoy the mic stand today. That's never happened to me before in my life.
Particularly vigorous moments.
Well,
you literally fucked the mic stand.
To death. Yeah. I broke the mic stand with my penis. That's going on my poster next year. 5 stars. So there's nothing you've really not enjoyed about the Fringe. You haven't had that moment of like, oh my God, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Of course.
Well, it's weird. It's like, when it's really, really raining and you know that anybody outside is only outside because they're going somewhere already. The pre-sales haven't been going.
I was going to say, that's the scariest thing. If you look at, that's again, it's kind of knowing that you've got tickets to sell, and then if you look at your pre-sales and it's like to date it said zero, go, holy crap, how are we going to do this? It interferes with dread and then fuels you, I suppose it can take you down the what's the point of,
but then we realise
it's interesting.
Last minute sort of and actually a really precious time of flying is just before the show,
although
we do charge for our tickets. We've deliberately priced ourselves pretty low, and people think it's worth it, it's worth a punt for a few quid, really.
Because it's quite a brave thing for your first year to come up and actually be doing a paid show in a venue you've had to pay for.
Yeah, we did apply for the Free Fringe, but because we decided quite late, all the venues had gone, so we definitely wanted the deadline of producing something, of having to come up. So in the end, we bit the bullet and said, we'll invest in a venue.
Because we do character comedy, and we deliberately sort of, we're on 240 basically, and later on in the day, often you're clashing with more high-profile comedians. But it wasn't that we didn't want to do the Free Fringe. It's just by the time we applied,
yeah,
it was
too late.
The rooms being offered were being like a really small room with a curtain from the bar and only a mic in the corner. And we actually need a bit of like
space because we do a bit of a dance routine.
We riff on the Dirty Dancing thing and all that kind of stuff. So
we had quite specific requirements from a free venue, which, you know, we need to be playing in November, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah. You need to get in early for that
sort of thing. So it's not that we didn't consider it at all. It's just that's the way.
It's just that we're slack.
I'm not laughing at the double entendre in that. So where can our listeners find you?
We are on at Just the Tonic at the Store, which is 37 Guthrie Street.
Oh, Greg! Hey!
That was actually my alarm clock going off.
You probably have
the copyright for that particular tune. So
no, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
So 37 Guthrie Street. It's just
Guthrie.
Off Guthrie Street.
Guthrie.
Yeah.
Guthrie.
Yeah, it's just after the C bar, up a little alleyway and up some steps, or just kind of off the road.
Yeah,
the
it's sort of
museum
behind.
Yeah,
it's behind C venue. It's really central, but it's on a bit of a back street. So but it was called the GRV last year. So technically,
this is the brilliant name
of our venue. It's Just the Tonic
at the store
in the studio brackets, formerly the VR GRV. That's it.
Bloody hell!
It's Venue 20. And actually, it's incredibly central. It's sort of a minute from everywhere.
Yeah.
Really.
It's just off Cowgate.
But it's just difficult because people don't walk down the street, particularly unless they're going to our venue. And it's 2:40 every day until
next Sunday, the 28th.
Only a few more days to go.
I know, we're already joking about the Tourette's twitch we'll have next week. We're trying to find everybody. Having done it so much since last month, we're going to be walking through the streets.
You're fun to come and see our show.
Finish the show.
Can we find you guys online?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
www.jollygoodlarks.com.
Not com.
But we do have a couple of trailers on that, so if you want to get a taste of what we're like, do look on these sort of YouTube trailers.
And do you guys tweet? Do you Twitter?
Yes, we do.
Yes, you do.
We do a little bit, yeah.
And you,
Jolly Good Larks.
Your handles? Oh, and the Jolly Good Larks.
Absolutely, yeah.
At Jolly Good Larks, and we're on Facebook as Jolly Good Larks as well. It's all
our name's Jolly Good Larks, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
it's Jolly Good Larks. For everything?
Yeah.
Absolutely, okay. All right, cool. Yeah. I thought you were guys would have independent Twitters as well. But no.
Well, actually, that's quite weird, actually, because my the Jolly Good Larks feed goes onto my personal Facebook page sometimes. Marie tweets. And I don't know about it. I get loads of comments.
It's a good game.
I made and then of course it comes up under my name, so all my mates think I've tweeted.
Period pains are really painful. I can't believe I got to do a show. All your friends, WTF, Greg? Question mark. Yeah. Smiley face, lol.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. But that's been interesting, actually, because...
I do deliberate spelling mistakes just to piss Greg off, because I know how anally it's about with grammar.
But we had a hashtag under Ed Fridge the other day.
Okay.
That was what I was teasing Maria about.
I did it on purpose.
Of course you did.
So you do all that kind of stuff as well, isn't it?
What, Twitter and things? Yeah. The listeners know where they can find me, Rich Massara. At Rich Massara or at Preston Frogcast. And they can find us on Facebook for the Preston Frogcast for the podcast, and on iTunes as well. You can subscribe for free. Subscribe.
You've been sat next to Greg for too long.
On Guthrie Street.
I've been saying so many words for the last month. I just think I've lost the ability to say them in the correct order anymore.
Peter Piper picked a pepper, pick a pepper, kind of thing.
She slit the sheets. The sheets are slit. She's the best sheet slitter that ever slit a sheet.
You're filthy.
I'm talking about plucking pheasants in a minute, and then where will we be?
I think we'll be ending the podcast and just putting on some Barry White and some candles. And just having a bit of fun.
There's a nice bit of Barry White in your show. I was seduced.
I deliberately seduced Greg in my show today.
Yeah, full on.
Well, I thought it would have been rude to just sexually molest Marie.
That would have been terrible.
In front of a room full of 20 strangers.
But Greg, on the other hand.
Oh, Greg.
Yeah.
I like the choice word rude. Like, if you actually sexually molested somebody, I'm sure the QC would be saying, oh, that was a bit rude.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe rude's not the legal term they use. Well, Greg Murray, thank you very much for coming on Frogcast at the Fringe.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
You're very
thank
welcome.
For the opportunity.
No, not a problem.
So, 2:40 every day.
2:40 every day.
Just on Guthrie Street.
Just the tonic, the store brackets, not the GRV. Yeah,
venue 20, that's the easy way of finding it. We look forward to seeing you. We'll just try and cheer you up for an hour.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast, guys. Play the music.